We're going to read together from Jonah chapter 1. Jonah chapter 1. And we're going to read the chapter, 17 verses together. Very familiar story. I'm sure there's not a person in here tonight who won't know this story. We've probably known it from Sunday school. But we'll read it together. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me." But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it, to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and lay, and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, "Why meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not." And they said every one to his fellow, "Come, and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us." So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, "Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us? What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou? What is thy country, and of what people art thou?" And he said unto them, "I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land." Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, "Why hast thou done this?" For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then said they unto him, "What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous." And he said unto them, "Take me up and cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you." Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, "We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not up upon us innocent blood. For thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee." So they took up Jonah, and they cast him forth into the sea. And the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Amen. And we know that God will bless his truth to all our hearts for his name's sake. Amen. When Margaret was given her testimony tonight, I thought to myself, I wonder how many Margarets are in this church. I wonder how many Jonas are in this church. I'm sure there's not a person in this church that God hasn't spoken to. Now, many of you have responded, and many of you can say tonight you're saved and you belong to Jesus. But I wonder, is there a Margaret here? Is there a Jonah here? And for you, you have heard the word of the Lord. Maybe at Sunday school. Maybe as you grew up. Maybe in your home. Maybe in the church wherever you go. Maybe at a mission sometime or other. Maybe on a CD or whatever. And yet up until tonight, you haven't listened. And you haven't given way to the Lord. Well, that's kind of the story of Jonah as well. And I want you to notice three things about him. First of all, Jonah was running away. Jonah was running away. Verse 3, but Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And he went down to Joppa. And he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. God had spoken to Jonah. God had said to Jonah, Jonah, arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it. And Jonah said, no thank you, Lord. No thank you. And instead of going where God wanted him to go, Jonah heads down to the port to see if he can't get a ship that will take him in the opposite direction, away from where God wanted him to be. And the strange thing is, and you'll discover it too, that whenever you try to run away from the Lord, things seem to work out at the start. Don't they? You ever notice that? Even if you're a Christian, God speaks to you, and you find a way out of it, and you think to yourself, well, I've got past that now, and it only comes back later on you to come back and make you come to terms with what the Lord is asking of you. But if you're not saved tonight, and you're like Jonah, you've been on the run, you're on the run from the Lord. Because he spoke to you at that mission. You felt Margaret was spoken to at the mission. Margaret was spoken to in hospital. Maybe you're the same. And you went on the run. And you headed off from God. And whenever Jonah was trying to make it away from God, everything seemed to work in his favor. He went down to the port, and here was a ship, and it was going in the opposite direction. And there was space in the ship, and he was able to pay his fare, and the men took him on, and away off they went. And I'm sure Jonah thought to himself, happy days, God didn't strike me down. God said go to Nineveh, but he gets on a ship to go to Tarshish, and God didn't strike him down. He got on the boat, he was able to make his way in the opposite direction to God wanted him. And there wasn't a big thunderbolt come down out of heaven and struck him as he went a step from the harbour onto the boat. After all, he was going against what God wanted him to do. And Jonah could have said, well, I got away with that one. I've got away with it. Everything seemed to go right for him, certainly for a while. And maybe you're the same tonight. You know, you've been at a mission before, and you've heard the invitation to come to Christ, but you didn't do it, but you never have been run down by a bus yet. And you could say tonight, well, you know, I never trusted Christ as my Savior and those opportunities that I had to come to Him, but I'll tell you what, my life has been doing all right, thank you. My family's been doing well. Notice Margaret said that too. Everything seemed to be going all right for Margaret as well, even though she had run away from God, from God's offer to save her. So maybe you're in the same boat tonight as Jonah, as it were. And for you, you can say, well, you know, I've been getting on with my own life, doing my own thing. And, you know, my life is good. My farm's doing rightly. I've been promoted in my job. And things seem to be going nicely. Thank you very much. God hasn't struck me down. I haven't taken a mysterious illness. I'm doing all right. But you know the Bible says, Proverbs 14, there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but in the end thereof are the ways of death. But in the end it leads to destruction. And that's right. You can go on the run from the Lord, but you can never escape Him. And yes, you can put off your choosing Christ as your Savior. You can put it off and off. You're on dangerous ground, as Margaret says, because you don't know when God will say, well, that's enough. I'm not going to ask you anymore. If you don't want to come, don't come. You won't come. But apart from that, you can say, I don't want Christ. I haven't received Christ. And nothing has happened to me. There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but in the end, it leads to destruction. And there's a way that you can choose, and that way is to turn away from God. The way that you can choose is to refuse to accept his offer of salvation. The way that you can choose is to reject Christ, and yet it still feels the right thing to do. And things are going okay. But you notice, when Jonah started going away from the Lord and getting away and run on the run from God, what happened to him? Well, everything started to go down. He's on the run from God, doesn't like what God's saying, doesn't accept what God's saying, and he goes down to Joppa. Then he goes down to the lower deck of the ship to sleep. Then he goes down into the sea. And then he goes down into the belly of the whale. You see, as you refuse to accept God's offer of salvation, and you go on the run, you go down and down and down, further into sin. Further into sin. Down eventually into the grave. Down eventually into a lost eternity. And yet, for a while, it seems all right. For a while, it seems as if God has let you away. And certainly, it's possible to turn away from God and become a director in one of the world's most successful companies. It's possible to turn away from God and receive the highest award possible from the Queen. It's possible to turn away from God and go through life with fewer problems than many Christians around you. But you can't run away from God and finish in heaven. God says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. You say, I don't believe that. I think God will never turn me away. There's people say that. People say, you know, God will never, if he's a God of love, when I stand before him, he'll not turn me away. Oh, he might say that in the Bible. Yeah, that's all right. Many a thing you say when you're not face to face with a person. But you think, well, God said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. But you know, you're thinking, well, when he sees me, when I'm standing face to face with him, he'll not be able to do it. God says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And you say, oh, well, you know, I don't believe that. I don't think I need to be saved. God says the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. But you say, you know, I don't accept that. I don't think I need that. I think I'm basically all right the way I am. And all the time, you're running away from these great truths. But you see, no matter how far you run or how long you run, you can't get away from these things. These things will come back to haunt you. If not in this life, and we hope it is in this life, it certainly will be in the next. You see, you can reject the gospel and still have a good life. You can reject the gospel and be a successful farmer. You can reject the gospel and be a healthier person than many a Christian that you know. But in the end, running away from God means you're going down. Down into sin, further and further. Down into the grave. Down into a lost eternity. So whilst now you might seem to be getting away with it, your decision to ignore God and reject God and refuse his offer of salvation will one day catch up with you. And you'll have to deal with it. You will have to face this, either in this life or in the next. I wonder, The Bible says you can't ignore God and get away with it. You can't. Is there a Margaret in here tonight? Is there a Jonah in here tonight? Are you running away from God's truth? Second thing that Jonah proved was that he was powerless to save himself. Verse 4 tells us that, but the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Jonah's running away from God didn't last too long till it came back to haunt him. He didn't get too far down the path that he wanted to go. It seemed to do for a while, and it did for a while. But here he is now in trouble. And you know, don't you think that, don't you fool yourself into thinking that because you've been on the run from Sunday school years, that's it. You'll get to the end of your life and this thing will never come back to you at all. That's not so. There's so many people in Ulster, and they've been brought up through Sunday school, and they've heard the gospel in Sunday school, and they know all the stories, and they know about Calvary, and they know about the blood, and they know about needing a Saviour, and all the rest of it, and they go on the run for years, only to be brought back to it at a further point whenever, as Margaret says, something happened. Something happened. Jonah, he was on the run and it was going well. Then something happened. A storm came. Do you know, I've led a whole lot of people to Christ in their hospital beds. People that I tried to talk to when they were healthy and well, but they didn't want to know. But then the storm came. And God brought it all back to them, lying in the bed, facing an operation. Remember going in to see a man one night, and he says to, he was past himself. It was in the Royal, it was late on. And I just happened to call him away through, and he was going for his operation the next day. And he was by himself. I says, what's wrong with you? He says, I was grand until they come in and explained the operation to me. I'm going to be dead for 15 minutes tomorrow. They're going to close my heart off. They're going to have to shut my heart down. And there's going to be a machine keeping me going till they do whatever they've got to do. And I says, big brave man, well, what about that? And he says, what about that? He says, what happens if my heart doesn't start up again? I says, you're right. What happens when your heart doesn't start up again? Where will you be? He says, that's what I'm worried about. That man, for years, was at Sunday school, but for years he never even darkened the door of the church. But when the storm came, it all came back on him. And you know, God has a wonderful way of bringing the storms into our lives. I remember an old fella, I shouldn't be saying that, but he was an old fella, 94. I'm sure he's older then than the most of you, so I haven't insulted anybody. An old fella. But when I went out, I must have witnessed to him for about 10 years, and he didn't like it. And he was in the orange, he was in the black, he was in the apprentice boys, he was in the whole thing. And I used to go time to time to see him and always try to speak to him about the Lord. But when I started to speak to him, he got angry. And so then I backed off. But the next time I went to go to see him, I tried to talk to him again. And again he would get angry and then I would back off. So I went to see him. It was his 94th birthday. And I saw him and I said to him, look, James, wouldn't it be a wonderful thing to get saved on your 94th birthday? You know what he said? I'll think about it. I think about it. I said, you've had 94 years to think about it. You need to do something about it. No, he got angry again, so I backed off. Got a phone call about, I don't know, 2, 3, 4 weeks afterwards. Would you go and see James? Where is he? He's in hospital. So I went up to the Ulster Hospital. Found the ward he was on, asked the nurse where he was, in that wee room up there. Went to the door of the wee room. Here's James sitting at the window, looking out the window, crying. I says, what's wrong with you? He says, I need to get saved. For 94 years he run. And he was hard. But thank God, God broke into his life. God brought all those things back to him. And in that hospital ward, when the storm came, he realized he was facing into things that he couldn't deal with himself. Sometimes God has to bring us to the point where we're looking into the face of things that we can't deal with. And when we get ourselves into that position, then we're more easily spoken to by God, by the Spirit of God, and by the servants of God as well. And here it was for Jonah, was the same thing. Jonah was in this position, and he found himself helpless. You know, the Bible says that the sailors said to Jonah, "Call on your God." Here's these pagans telling this man who believed. He told them, "I believe in the Lord God who created all things." And it was the pagans said to him, "Well, here, boy, call on your God. Well, we need him. We're going to be lost without him. Start calling." Do you remember blind Bartimaeus, Mark 10 said, when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And then the crowd told him, "Give over." And it says in verse 48, he shouted all the more. Why? Because he knew he was helpless. And he knew that if anybody was ever going to be able to help him, it was Jesus. My friend, have you reached that point in your life? You've been on the run. Maybe things have now changed. And maybe the storms have come. Maybe you find yourself in circumstances of life and you hardly even know where they've come from or where they're going. And you feel helpless. And maybe it takes those things for you to realize again that all you can do is call upon him. Do you remember the thief on the cross? He listened, and he was probably part of it as well, the mockery and all the rest of it, the abuse that started there. But then as he listened to Jesus, this man was hours, moments away from death, suddenly changed. And he said to Jesus, "Remember me when you come in your kingdom." And Jesus says, "Today thou wilt be with me in paradise." Run all you like. But God has a wonderful way of bringing issues to you and bringing circumstances in your life that will stop you in your tracks. And you'll realize how frail you are. And how fragile you are. And how fragile your life is. And you'll realize then that the only one that can help you is Jesus. And all you have to do is call out to him. Third thing I want you to notice is Jonah gets another opportunity. Jonah gets another opportunity. Verse 12, Jonah says to the sailors, "Take me up and cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this tempest is upon you." Or, "I know that it is my fault." That's what he was saying. "I know this is my fault that this great storm has come upon you. You know what Jonah was realizing? Can't ignore God and get away with it. You can't ignore God and get away with it. You can't run away from God and get away with it. And what does he do? He confesses. He says, "This is my fault. This is my fault." You know, taking responsibilities for his own actions was the point that God brought him to. He realized, you see all this? This is my fault. I've done this. And he takes responsibility for his own sins. And it leads him to receive forgiveness and a new beginning. Of course, says there's a way back to God from the dark paths of sin. Thank God there is. If you've been on the run for years And it's coming back now when the circumstances of life have changed and God's speaking directly into your life again, and this time in a storm. Then, my friend, thank God there's a way back to God from the dark paths of sin. There's a door that is open and you may go in. At Calvary's cross is where you begin when you come as a sinner to Jesus. That's what Margaret had to do. Thank God he gave Margaret 3 chances to come back. Many chances have you had already? Many opportunities have you had already over your lifetime? And yet here you are tonight, still without Christ, still without hope, on your way to a lost eternity. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. No matter how long you've been running, God's coming to new buildings this fortnight to give you another chance. And he's saying to you, look, what do you have to do to get out of this mess that your life's in? What have you got to do to settle the question of your soul's salvation? What have you got to do to make sure that when this life's over, you're not going down into sin and down into the grave and down into a lost eternity? You're going to go up to heaven, be with Christ. And where does that start? It starts when you're prepared to say, Lord, it's my fault. It's my sin. If you confess your sins, that's what God says. Confess your sins. Say, God, I accept responsibility for the things I've done in my life. For the sins that I've committed in my life. For the ways that I've ignored you, the ways I've rejected you, the ways I've lived in ways that are against you. I confess that. Lord, it's my fault. And the Bible says, God says, that he is faithful and just. If you do that, he will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. I wonder tonight, have you been running away from God from your very wee boy? Not a wee boy anymore. Have you been running away from God since you were a wee girl? You're not a wee girl anymore. Look in the mirror. Life's moving on. Time's moving on. There's maybe more of your life behind you than there's now in front of you. And what are you going to do? Run on? Just try to ignore it, try to put it to the back of your mind. Thank God that he doesn't let that happen. But through the circumstances of your life, he keeps bringing this back to you, back to you, and back to you. And tonight, what he wants you to do is, he's offering you another opportunity. No matter how far down you've gone into sin in your life since you've been on the run. God says, if you're prepared to come tonight, I'm prepared to accept you. If you're prepared to come tonight, I'm prepared to receive you. If you're prepared to confess tonight, I'm prepared to forgive you. My friend, if you're not yet saved, you should be grabbing that with your two hands. Not waiting another day. Not waiting another night. But coming to him now. And saying, Lord, it is my fault. God sent a whale to save Jonah. God didn't send a whale to save you. He sent his son to Calvary. And when he hung on that tree, he was the sinless, spotless Son of God. It was your filthy sin was on his shoulders. and mine. And when Jesus Christ shed his precious blood, it wasn't for his sin, for he never sinned. But it was for my sin and your sin. And if you're prepared not to be in the belly of a whale tonight, but if you're prepared to be in Jesus tonight, then you'll be saved. You'll be forgiven. And you'll be given the gift of eternal life. Surely, you're not going to stay on the run. Maybe the reason why you're here tonight is because in your heart and in your life, these things have been weighing heavily upon you. God has been bringing them back to you. Back to you in these days, and you've come to the mission to see if you can get some help. Well, there's help for you tonight. Jesus is in this place offering you an opportunity to get right with him. So why don't you do it? And if you would like to do that, why don't you wait and speak to Jonathan or speak to myself? We'd love to share with you. We'd love you to point you to Christ. We'd love you to go home tonight with Jesus Christ as your Savior in your soul. And you go home with a great peace that all is well with your soul. That's possible. Maybe you're sitting there and you're a wee bit of a stir on. You're muddled in your mind. It's been getting to you over these days, even as God brought this mission to this place. My friend, maybe your stomach feels like the boat that these men were in, because God has been speaking and your feelings are all churned up. Your emotions are all churned up and you hardly know what's wrong with you. What's wrong with you is God's speaking. So don't run. Stop tonight. Deal with him. Let him deal with you and go in your way rejoicing from this place tonight. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for what we've shared together this evening. Thank you for Margaret and for her testimony here tonight. And Lord, that testimony could well be the same as other people. Her experiences could be the same as other people sitting in this room. And Lord, there might be a Jonah in this room who's been on the run from you. And you've brought circumstances into their life that has really stirred things up for them. Not just around them, but in their heart as well. And you've been speaking directly to them. You've been challenging them. You've been convicting them. And Lord, they're feeling the guilt of their sin and the shame of how they've run and ignored you and disobeyed you and rejected you. And Lord, we pray and thank you that you're the God of the second chance. So we pray for somebody in this meeting tonight who's Jonah, that they will be prepared to come and say, Lord, this is all my fault. Forgive me. Cleanse me from my sin. Save my soul this night for Jesus' sake. Amen.